Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Number one, somebody has to be sent. And there's no doubt about it that God has sent us. If you're born again, if you're a child of God, if you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you must consider yourself sent. You don't need any special revelation. You don't need God to send an angel to announce to you, my son, my daughter, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. All such information you can find in the Bible. Amen. So you and I have been sent. But after being sent, we must go. When we go, we got to tell people about Jesus. And note this, my friend. We must not tell people anything else. Jesus. Because that is where the problem arises. We may go, but we may go declaring something else. We may go talking about our pastors. We may go talking churches, announcing to our church why our church is the greatest church set up. That is not good news. And that is the gospel. Hallelujah. So God has sent us. We must go. And when we go, we must tell them about Jesus. What we do here have to believe. When they believe, they must call unto Jesus. And the Bible says that who calls unto Jesus. But it all starts off with us being saints and with us going. Why is it, ladies and gentlemen, that most Christians do not have beautiful feet? And most Christians don't have beautiful feet because we don't tell people about Jesus. But why don't we tell them? There are many different reasons we've looked at. I can't go into that. But one of the reasons we are zeroing in on is that there are many Christians who do not really know how to evangelize and how to talk to people about Jesus. They don't know. So the essence of this sermon and this teaching, this I believe is the fourth part of the series, is to teach us practically how to be effective witnesses for Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. One day, you will have an opportunity to say thank you to me that I taught you these things. Because you will stand before God and receive words of recommendation. He will say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Why? Because you carried out that task and responsibility that I entrusted to you. There are many things you can do for the kingdom of God. But one of the most important is becoming a witness for Christ Jesus. That everywhere you go, you tell people about Jesus. Can I have an amen? So last week we started looking at the practical steps. The very first step that I gave you was what? Say that again. We must pray. That is the first practical step to effective evangelism. We must pray. And there are three things that I said you got to pray about. Number one is what? That God will grant you the opportunity to tell someone about Jesus. Number two, that you win that opportunity. And number three, that you will speak fearlessly. Amen. So first of all, the opportunity should be created for us. And it is only God who can give us that opportunity, which is why we must pray about it. Then when the opportunity comes, we must speak clearly. And then also, we must speak fearlessly. Now, this prayer is a prayer that we must pray virtually every day of our lives. Because an effective witness is one who goes about his task all the time. So if that is going to happen, it means that every day of our lives, we must pray this prayer. Amen. What is the second step I shared with you? We must be guided by the Holy Spirit and we must follow his promptings. And I mentioned to you that effective evangelism is done in partnership with the Holy Spirit. How many can remember that statement? Effective evangelism is done in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And I shared a few scriptures with you. I told you that it is Jesus who gave the instruction that go ye therefore and teach all nations. But in Acts of the Apostles, the first chapter, he gave another instruction that they shouldn't go yet. And that they should wait for the promise of the Father. That was in reference to the Holy Spirit. And he explained to them that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon them. And he was going to empower them to be witnesses unto him. In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And Jesus was trying to establish a very important truth. That we can never be effective in our mission of evangelizing the world unless we are doing it in conjunction with the Holy Spirit and in partnership with him. So that's the second step you must grasp about being an effective witness for Jesus Christ. What was the third step? We must arm ourselves with some key Bible verses or scriptures. There are certain scriptures that we must know. And the way to arm yourself with these scriptures is to memorize them. They must be in your mind and in your heart. So that whenever the opportunity presents itself, you have what you need. You have the scriptures that you need. And you can use them, guided by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And you will notice that on our church WhatsApp platform, for some weeks now, Monday, from Sunday to Friday, we post an evangelistic scripture that we are supposed to memorize. Amen. We don't just put them there for fun or as a decoration. You know, it's not just something we are putting there for you to acknowledge with an amen sign. Beyond acknowledging it, we are expecting you to read it and to memorize it. So today, for example, what scripture did we put out there? Who's it there? Yeah. Romans 5 verse 12. That's a scripture that we put there. Did anybody bother to memorize it? Who knows what is there? When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. And through Adam's sin, death spread to the world. And to everyone. Why? Because everyone sinned. So it's an important verse to know. Because it explains how the sin problem came about. That it came about because Adam sinned. It was actually both of them, Adam and Eve. Alright? They sinned. And it started with the woman. Alright? I think it's important to establish that important fact. So then sin entered into the world. And then the consequence of that sin was death. And that death has been passed on to everyone. Why? Because every one of us has that nature of sin. From the moment you are born into this world, you are a sinner. And then you confirm it by doing bad things. You'll be surprised, even little children, little babies. Do you see that he's sinning? There we go. Little children, from the time they are born, they are very selfish, self-centered, short-tempered. Any small thing, they are crying. Nah, 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 nah. Is it not sin to prevent your mother from sleeping at night? It is sin. So there is a need to know some of these scriptures and to arm yourself with them. So that when God gives you the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody, you will not just be sharing ancient Nigerian proverbs and Ghanaian wise sayings. That's not the time to go. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. And that Mary in that poem is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And the lamb in that poem is Jesus, the Lamb of God. Where are you going with this interesting revelation? You must know the word of God. You must know certain key verses and share them well. Hallelujah. Let's move on to the next step. Number four. The next practical step to effective evangelism is that it helps to start off with surface level subjects. I'll explain that. It helps to start off with surface level subjects. It helps to start off with surface level subjects. Now, surface level subjects are basic issues or topics of this life. Things like people's health is a surface level subject. Things like the weather. Things like the economy. You know, these are basic things. And it helps whenever you want to share the gospel with somebody that you start off with surface level subjects. And one of the things you should pray for when the opportunity presents itself to share the gospel with somebody, pray that the Spirit of God should identify things that you can start off the conversation on before you move into the real issue of salvation. You can't just meet somebody and say, hey, when you die, will you go to heaven or hell? You can't just approach somebody and say, is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? You can't just start off and say that, hey, are you born again? It helps to start off with surface level subjects. So, you may walk into somebody's shop and God may prompt you to share the gospel with the person. You start off ask, how are you doing? Ask, how are sales today? You can ask, hey, how is the business going? I hear that it's not easy for those of you who have provision shops. Then the person will start saying, Seminia, it's not easy. Then they will say, then you get to a point, then you transition into the word of God. And you can do that by telling them, you know, my friend, I've come to see that without God, we cannot make it and we cannot do well. That I've even come to see that even in our day-to-day living, in our business, whatever we do in life, we need God's hand upon us. And tell the person, that reminds me, there's something I think I need to share with you today. It's something about Jesus Christ. And then you move on and share the gospel with the person. So it helps to start off with surface level subjects. Is that helpful to somebody? Number five, the next practical step to effective evangelism is to deliver a simple and warm salvation message based on your personal experience of Christ. You must deliver a simple and warm salvation message based on your personal experience of Christ. Did you get that? Deliver a simple and warm salvation message based on your personal experience of Christ. Simple message about Jesus is what you must deliver. And it must be a warm message. Don't frighten people into heaven. Don't start talking about brimstone and fire and judgment and damnation and all those things that frighten people. Look, I just say that the reason why some people give their lives to Christ is because they were frightened. And what happens to some of those people is that after some time, when the fright wears off, they go back. So you cannot do that. Whatever you are delivering, whatever message you are giving to anybody, make it simple. Make it warm. Talk more about the love of God, the mercies of God, the faithfulness of God, the compassion of God. Decide to dwell more on that rather than focusing on the judgmental aspect of God. Because we are living in a dispensation of grace. And there's a reason for it. So when the opportunity presents itself to talk to somebody about Jesus, deliver a simple and a warm salvation message. And you won't get it wrong if you base it on your own personal experience of Christ. How many of you are born again? Can I see by show of hands? Put your hands down. How many of you have received Jesus as Lord and Savior? Can I see by show of hands? Put your hands down. How many of you have had a personal experience of Jesus Christ? Can I see by show of hands? Beautiful. So, the simplest way of witnessing to anybody is to tell them of your experience. How you were before. How you met Jesus. How your life was before you met Jesus. You share that with the person. You share your own experience. Nothing complicated. Look with me, please, at 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. It says, we proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually done what? Actually done what? Seen, and then what else? And heard. That's what we are proclaiming to you. What we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So talk about what you have personally seen or heard, or what you have experienced. And I'm saying again to you that you don't need to compose a long sermon with all kinds of revelations about Aaron's beard, about the sandals that Moses left. You don't have to start talking about dinosaurs and all these other things. There's no need to go on that tangent. You don't need any long message. You don't even need to be able to speak eloquently about all the things in the Bible. You don't need to do all of that. Neither do you need to have answers for all of life's questions in order to be able to share the gospel with anybody. You don't need any of that. All you need is to tell them what Jesus has done for you. That's your experience. Now, I know that there are different salvation experiences. And some people, when they are talking about how they got saved, they have some very dramatic story to tell. Is there anybody here who has some dramatic story? Pastor Elvis has some dramatic. Okay. Give Pastor Elvis a mic. Here he has some dramatic. Have you seen that today? He got you. He was smart because he realized that you were just about to mention his name. You hold on to the microphone. Yes. Give it to him. Hold on to him. It is true that some people have dramatic stories to tell. So they would tell you about how they were at a nightclub and then there was a fight. and somebody shot a gun. And then the bullet passed their ear and went to hit the next person. And then the person started bleeding. Then somebody pulled a knife and then hit out. And you managed to dodge. And then the knife cut somebody's stomach. And the person's intestine spilled out. And as you were there, you said, God, save me, save me, save me. And that day you escaped. And when you escaped, you realized that Jesus is real. And you decided to give your heart to Jesus. Very dramatic. Very colorful story. Does anybody have a story like that here? Perhaps. But you see, the fact that you don't have a dramatic story to tell does not mean that your experience is not real. Every story has to be dramatic. And don't even think that, you know, there are two types of sinners, good sinners and bad sinners. What do I mean? Good sinners are people who, before they got born again, they didn't do bad things. Like what? Stealing, telling lies. And throw them saying, you know, you should be fine. Drinking, smoking, sleeping around, and all of these other things. You didn't go to pubs, you didn't go to nightclubs, but you still needed to be saved. Why? And it's one of the scriptures I put out there, Romans 3:10. As the scripture says, for there is none righteous, no, not one. So you must know such a scripture. Because sometimes when you reach out to somebody, tell the person about Jesus, you can feel that the person feels I'm a correcto perfecto guy. That I'm okay, there's nothing wrong with me. That's when you have to tell the person that the Bible says in Romans 3:10 that there is none righteous. No, not one. Certainly it will unsettle the person, and then you go on and explain the sin problem. Now, if you didn't do a lot of bad things and everything, you still have an experience of Jesus. That's when you can tell people that before I got born again, I thought that everything was okay with me. I came from a good home. My parents took good care of me. But even though I had all these things, there was some emptiness in the inside of me. I felt that there's something more to life than this life that I'm living. You explain to the person, sometimes when I lie in bed, I start asking myself questions. That, is this it? And then you say that one day somebody invited me to church. And when I heard the pastor preaching and talking about Jesus and how God loved us so much that he sent this Jesus, suddenly in my heart I realized that this is the person I need to make my life meaningful and purposeful. So from that day, I gave my heart to Jesus, and my life has never been the same again. It's not a dramatic story. There's no lion. There's no cow wearing red kambu chasing you in your dreams. Nothing like that. But it is still an experience, because you've experienced him in your life and you know that it is real. Somebody said that you will never know it is true until it happens to you. And that is what it is about the salvation experience. So what am I saying to you? When the opportunity presents itself, Fredo, you are giving me a monotonous sound. I don't like it. When you have an opportunity to tell anybody about Jesus, stick with, for most of the time if you like, with your own personal experience. And tell them what you've experienced of Jesus and what he has done in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Since you have the microphone, Pastor Elvis, how did you become saved? Tell us your personal experience.
Well, thank you so much.
You are welcome.
I'll say that once I was at a tender age.
How old was that?
Okay, when I finally gave my life to Christ, I think I was about 14.
Before the finally, what were you doing before?
I was normal, but I had done it many times.
Okay.
Maybe we used to have what we call free show, where they set up a video, show a movie on Jesus Christ, and they lead us to Christ, and we were very excited to do that. But I think it didn't really mean anything to me until I got to secondary school, first year. During the Sunday service, we had a group that came to the school, had a service with us.
What form were you in?
Form 1. First
form
year.
1.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the man of God had made an altar call and then said that, it's left with one person who should come.
Wow.
And I was standing there, I was resisting. But I heard a voice say, this is the time.
You heard a voice?
Yes.
Charlie?
So
it's dramatic. Okay. He heard a voice. So how many of you heard such a voice? Yeah.
So
Pastor James was right. Have you forgotten that he's a prophet? When he was saying the thing, you were doubting it. But you heard a voice saying what?
Yes, this is the time.
This is the time.
Yeah. And the man of God kept saying that he's still waiting for me. And the voice kept pressing. This is the time. This is the time. Move. Move. So I moved. And ever since then, I think that was the real meaningful
salvation experience that you had. Hallelujah. So a story like this can be shared many times because you've had a personal experience, and this is the experience. Now you may say, Pastor, me I didn't hear no voice. It's okay, but you can testify to the experience that you've had of Jesus, unless of course you want to tell me that the born again experience hasn't affected you in any way. And if that is what it is, then we have a serious problem. And today when I do the altar call, immediately lift up your hand and let's go through the process again. Because there is no way that you will encounter Christ and it will not make a difference in your life. It doesn't mean, Pastor Elvis, thank you very much. Put your hands together for him. He's a good one. He was a good sinner. Do you see? He was a good sinner, but he still needed Jesus. And that's when he heard a voice saying that it is time. Wow. So from now, one of your nicknames will be It Is Time. Heard a voice saying it is time. Hallelujah. So that's how you go about it. Number 6. And by the way, my friends, what I am doing is giving you the tools you need to carry out that charge that God has entrusted to all of us. You will not have any excuse after this series. No more excuses. And it is my expectation, but above all, God's expectation, that after hearing a sermon like this, it will stir up something in the inside of you and will turn you into a person with beautiful feet. Somebody who tells people everywhere he goes, wherever he finds himself, about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Number 6. The 6th practical step to effective evangelism is to use gospel tracts to help you in your evangelism. You can use gospel tracts. Now, a gospel tract is a small pamphlet that is designed to simply present the gospel. That's what it is. It's a small pamphlet. So I have 2 gospel tracts here. All right. This one says, it has a title, It's Not My Pigeon. Pigeon is a bird, a type of bird. All right. It's Not My Pigeon. You know, and it tells a story of how a lady was in a house and then she walked to the door of her house and saw that somebody had left a basket there. When she opened the basket, there was this bird, pigeon, in the basket, and there was a note attached. And the note said, put so much money in a bag, tie it to the leg of the pigeon and release it, otherwise we'll kill you. So she reported to the police. And then what the police did was that they tied something to the leg of the pigeon they got two planes, they released the pigeon, and they followed the pigeon as it flew, and it landed in somebody's house. So they located the house and they got there. And when they went in, they saw two guys with the pigeon and said, "Hey, is it you who did this thing?" They said, "It's not my pigeon. I don't know this bird from anywhere." So the police said, "You wait and see." So they took the bird and took it far away and released it. It came back to the same house. They did it 3 times. It came back to the same house. So now the people confessed and said, "It is my pigeon." So now the story is just explained that sometimes when you talk to people, they say, "It's not my fault. It's not my fault. You know, I haven't done anything bad. Or if I've done anything bad, it's not my fault." So it is trying to share the gospel of Jesus Christ from that perspective. And then it builds up on that. Then there's this other one. So there are different tracts that can be used. This one is one that talks more of assurance of salvation. So the title is Suggestions for Christian Growth. So when you look through it, it talks about what somebody needs to know after he or she gives his life to Christ, and the things that you can do to grow in the Lord. You must pray, read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. If you want to grow, you know, talks about that. Talks about how you need to go to church. It talks about how you must become a witness for Jesus and so on and so forth. The point that I'm making to you is that you can actually use these tracts to evangelize. You can. And when you get a very good tract, I mean, I can remember many years ago, there was this one that was very common, 48 hours in hell. That one was a frightening one. And all of us, when we read that, we were afraid. Yeah, but I can still remember it because it had a profound effect on me. And there are some very good ones, well put together, with a simple, straightforward message. You can use these tracts to help you to evangelize. So try and have them. And we have a number of these tracts around. If you are interested in having some of them, you know, you can talk to Pastor James and we'll give them to you. And we must get more. Okay? We must get more. So tell Debbie to get us more. Hallelujah. So you can use gospel tracts. Amen. Number 7. When you have the opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus, use a language you are conversant with. Use a language that you are conversant with. That means a language that you are able to express yourself well in. All right? Now, this is particularly in the case where maybe the church has organized outreach in an area. And we send you out in groups of 2 or 3. And you get to somebody, you know, you try and talk to the person in a language that you are conversant with. Now, if you realize that the person speaks the person understands only a particular language, you find somebody else who speaks the person's language to talk to the person. But if you have a case of somebody you come across randomly, and always remember that it's never random, especially if God prompts you to talk to that person. When you have the opportunity, just talk to the person in the language you understand. Which is why you must learn, everybody must learn, to be able to deliver a simple evangelistic message in a language that you are conversant with. Michelle, how many languages do you speak? There's no trickle in the question. How many languages do you speak? Number 1, English. Number 2, Twi. Number 2, Twi. Number 3, you speak Hausa. Really? Wow. Now, and you can speak quite fluently in Hausa. Beautiful. You may never know who you will meet. So as part of your preparation, learn how to deliver a simple gospel message in any of the languages that you are comfortable with. Do you understand what I'm explaining to you? You can learn it. It's part of your preparation. So in your case, Michelle, you should be able to give a simple gospel message in English, in Kri, and in Hausa. Because you may never know who God will bring your way. And look, if we pray that prayer at the very beginning that we talked about, where you pray that God should open the door and everything, God will not bring anybody to you that you cannot reach out to. If you pray earnestly and regularly that God should open the door for you to share the gospel with somebody, you will discover that ever so often, the person that the Spirit of God will prompt you to talk to is somebody you can actually speak to. So the key thing is to use a language that you are conversant with. And I'm explaining to you that if there is a language that you speak, learn how to deliver a simple evangelistic message in that language. So I speak English, of course. I speak Chi. I speak Fanti. I speak Gan. I speak French. And Ewe. But those ones, I speak them as tongues. So I'm not conversant with them, you see. So you leave those ones out. Even though I'm very good in French and Ewe. Alright? I'm like Uncle Evans. We are both very, very fluent in Ewe. One day he'll tell you his story, okay? Auntie Barry is laughing at him. Same baby. So learn. And remember that I said, always talk to people about your own salvation experience. So find a way to deliver that message in a language that you are conversant with. It's a practical step, one of the practical steps to effective evangelism. Am I helping anybody at all? Number 8. The 8th step. Talk about Jesus. Not about your church or your pastor. It's a practical step. Talk about Jesus. Not about a church. Not about your pastor. Talk about Jesus. Talk about who? Colossians chapter 1 verse 28. Colossians 1 28. So we tell others about Christ. New Living Translation, please. So we tell others about who? Christ. Warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. The first part says, so we tell others about Christ. Talk about Christ. Talk about Jesus. Don't go talking about your church. Don't go talking about your pastor. Who is your pastor? Has he shed his blood for anybody? Did he die for you? So why are you talking about him? Why are you talking about... You think that your church is very nice until you go to some other church and you realize that, Charlie, there are churches and there are churches. So let's not go there. And this is the problem with charismatic Christians. When we are supposed to talk to people about Jesus, we end up talking to them about our church. And an average charismatic, when he's going witnessing evangelism, he's inviting people, please come to my church. Please come to my church. My pastor is very powerful. He's very anointed. He will give you dilation. Your life will never be the same again. That is not evangelism. That is advertisement. You are advertising your church. And you are advertising your pastor. And I don't want any member of this church to become like that. Always making noise about your church, making noise about your pastor. What is your church? Who is your pastor? That's not important. The important news to deliver is about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 2. NIV. Paul says, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you. Except who? Except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I resolved when I was with you, when I talked to you, when I communicated with you, that I'm going to talk to you about Jesus. And I'm not going to focus on anybody else or on anything else except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So, to be effective evangelists, we must focus on Jesus and talk about him and not talk about other things. Can I have an amen? Number nine, have a hope and expectation that whoever you speak to will respond positively and give his or her life to Christ. Have a hope and expectation that whoever you speak to will respond positively and give his or her life to Christ. Have an expectation and a hope that whoever you speak to, that means whoever you witness to, will respond positively. That means he will give his or her life to Christ. Praise the name of Jesus. Proverbs 23 verse 18. You will be rewarded for this. Your hope will not be disappointed. Hallelujah. You will be rewarded for this. Your hope will not be disappointed. So you must have hope. You must have expectation that when I talk to people about Jesus and I witness to them, they will respond positively and allow me to lead them to pray the same prayer. Believe it. Expect it. Hope for it. Hope and without that expectation. Hallelujah. Number 10 and the last one for today. Don't lose your focus and be drawn into religious or doctrinal arguments. Don't lose your focus and be drawn into religious or doctrinal arguments. Don't lose your focus and be drawn into religious or doctrinal arguments. Titus chapter 3 verse 9. Do not get involved in foolish discussions about spiritual pedigrees or in quarrels and fights about obedience to Jewish laws. These things are useless and a waste of time. I want to say to you, my friends, that a lot of these religious and doctrinal arguments are useless, and you're just wasting your time. So avoid them. Don't get involved in such discussions when you are trying to witness to anybody. And when you realize that the discussion is trying to shift into those areas, find a way to shift it back to the main thing. You meet people who would ask you, the fruit that Eve ate. Is it an apple? It's not an apple. They will ask you, who was Cain's wife? Then they'll ask you all kinds of questions. And you must avoid those things because that's not your focus. Don't get into an argument about Muslims and Christians, what they did and what they didn't do. This morning when I was coming to church, I dropped off my car at the washing bay, so I walked to church. And I met a gentleman and I started talking to him. I started on a surface level discussion, then I moved into details. And I asked him about Jesus Christ, whether he received Jesus as Lord and Savior. And he said to me, no. And then he went ahead to say to me that he's a Muslim. He said, I was a Christian before, and now I am a Muslim. I was trying to find out from him why, you know, he didn't last in the Christian experience. And from the answers that he gave me, his mind is made up. So I thought, and then I went my way. That's it. And especially in his case, he says that he's a Christian. It's just that sometimes the Christianity that people puts them off. And church, that's what it was. I mean, the way people support political parties, for MPP, New Force, yes, or Afafranto. I am Olympus, Olympiade, lost by 4 goals yesterday. You are waiting for them to come to Camp Nou. You give them how many? Look at how excited he is as he's saying this. This is the prophet of God. It's fantastic. But Charlie, a prophet used men. Some people, their Christian experience is just like that. What I'm saying to you is that when you are talking to somebody about Jesus, try to stay away. A very John 1:45-46. Philip went to and told him, wrote about is Jesus the son of Joseph from Nathaniel's response. So you see, an argument trying to present it. What was Philip's response? He said, come and see. Come and see. The Lord has done. Oh, come and see what the Lord has done. Come and see what the... That was his response. Come and see. He didn't bother to engage him in an argument about Nazareth and all of those things. So the Lord, for all, just push aside any type of arguments and quarrels and misunderstandings, because people get very heated when you get into certain discussions. Don't get into a religious discussion with a deeply rooted Muslim. It can lead to something that you will not be happy about. So again, we need wisdom to know how to do these things. Next week, by the grace of God, I'm going to complete the series, and then you would have been presented with the tools that you need to be an effective witness for Jesus Christ. Rise to your feet and put your hands together for Jesus as we bring today's service to a close. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for today, and thank you for everything we've learned and received. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I don't know everybody here. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know how you found your way to this church today. But can I take the liberty to ask you, do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Have you surrendered your life to Him? Now, I'm not asking about whether you go to church or not. I'm talking about a personal relationship with Jesus. Have you experienced that? Do you have that? If you don't, I have it for you. Right at the Restoration Center, or online watching us, right there in your room, Jesus can hit you, change your life for the better. All you need to do is to pray a prayer in simple childlike faith, and your life will be changed forever, and a great miracle will occur within you. If you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please pray this prayer with me, and let everybody pray this prayer, and those watching can pray as well. Say, dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you. Please forgive me for all my sins and wash me with your precious blood. From today, I am yours. And you are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.